Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello again. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 7. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
A lot of different things happen in the scripture so far. The book of Acts, now since the Holy Spirit, is man becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's all changed. Instead of being in a tabernacle, which was torn down about 70 years later, they're still talking about the temple a lot. It's going to be torn down. It's not going to be the focus anymore. This is really pretty much, we're getting to the end of the focus being on a building, and it's going to be more focused on us being the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God living in us and us producing fruit. Our lives are going to change. Here on the day of Pentecost, it started with 120 people who were together for that last week. They were told to abide in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Then 3,000 people were baptized, and they grew to 3,120. And then later on, 5,000 joined them more. Other miracles and things were happening where it grew. But instead of being in one building, all of a sudden, since we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're having actually now 8,120 temples of the Holy Spirit instead of a building that was dead, made out of things that were not living anymore, trees that were cut down, stones that were not breathing and living, and so on. Now we're talking about living temples. And then it grew to a point where it multiplied. In this context, talking about these diaconos, not deacons like we think in the churches, totally goes against this. Dia through konia means whiter, through whiters. People that could change a man's heart, instead of being a sinful heart, it could change it into a pure heart that was white as snow, that was circumcised and white as snow. And they also joined in this. I don't see the first one that we read in here. We just read 53 verses about Stephen. There's nothing about him waiting on one table, but he gets confronted by the church leader. Now, what has also happened, what we just read in 1 through 53, is the church leader, the highest priest that came about through the tabernacle that was shown to Moses, and it talks about Israel becoming a nation through Abraham. It goes from 2,000 years before Jesus. 2008 was when Abraham came on the scene, and how his different sons became different tribes, and Moses came out of the tribe of Levi. And they were the priestly tribe, and he selected Moses, and he told him how to build this house. But this house, having three chambers, was actually looking at our hearts. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You have the heart of man, then you have the soul or the life of man, and then you have the flesh of man, those three rooms. And it was actually, that physical building was actually patterning us, and how God would live in the very heart, in the holiest of holies, on the Ark of the Covenant, and he would live inside of man. He was actually looking ahead till today, and he's actually going to tell us even things into the future, but now he's bringing us up in the book of Acts to present time, to today, right? to right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what the new temple is. And the priests still want to hold on to this old building that's dead, that's actually going to be torn down in 70 years. It'll be flattened. And telling people they'll hang on to this. And now it's has grown so much. Can you imagine a group of maybe 20, maybe it's tripled, maybe 24,000, 25,000 temples, living temples of men whose lives have changed. They've been purified and they are the temple of God, God living in them. So this is how this, what we just read, to bring it to present, to today, what we just read in Acts chapter 7. And he's talking to the head chief priest who's making all of his living off of this. That's how he gets paid, off the sacrifices, you know, the animals and so on that are brought to him. He's eating pretty good meat and living well, and he has nice skins, nice leather, and all these parts of the sacrifice. It's all going to be taken away from him. And he's not liking it. And in the end, he was called stiff-necked and uncircumcised. And he needs to repent and be born again, to be have that circumcision of the heart that happens when we give our lives up with Jesus. In Acts 2:30, it says, repent and be baptized. We already read that in 2:38. And so he says, you haven't repented, you're a stiff neck, and you haven't been baptized, because the circumcision in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, if you want to look that up, Colossians 2, 8 through 15 talks about when we're baptized, we are circumcised, our hearts are circumcised. So, and the answer was given right off the bat, and 3,000 people were baptized. 3,000 people took care of their stiff-neckedness and uncircumcision of their hearts when they changed their mind and were baptized, back several chapters that we went through. If you want to go back and listen to those. And when a person does that, they resist the Holy Spirit. So a person who is God's temple has the Holy Spirit residing in his heart. His heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is walking in the Spirit. Steve, tell people where you're going to sing.
Oh, yeah. So in Acts 7:49 and 50, Stephen is quoting from Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. So I was going to sing that. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me, and where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word, and who trembles at my word. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me, and where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word, and who trembles at my word. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word, and who trembles at my word.
Did I leave anything out, Andy?
No, you covered that really well.
By God's grace.
By God's grace.
I've never seen that much in that before. Maybe a tenth. For some reason, this thing really opened up. Oh, I wanted to bring out the word church is stated in here, the church in the wilderness. People think of a building right off the bat. And the word church does not mean it has nothing to do with a building. It is ecclesia, ek plus kaleo. Ek is out, and kaleo is called, the called out. It is not about wood, gold, silver, precious stones, and those are all used in the temple. It is the called out living. God was not interested in material. It was always about men's hearts. God wants men's hearts. He doesn't want your body. He doesn't want your mind. They're all messed up anyway. He doesn't say, give me your flesh, my son. He doesn't say, give me your mind, my son. He says, give me your heart, my son. Isn't that interesting? Because the rest, it needs to be changed. But it won't change outside in. It changes. He wants the pilot seat. He wants to fly. And you won't fly. Believe me, your plane will not get off the ground. There's zero chance of getting off the ground. And I used to tell people when I was teaching Revelation, I can prove that we were actually meant to fly, and we will fly, because we're going to join him in the air. How do you join him in the air? You're going to go out and rent a plane at that time? You're going to trust United or, you know, some other airline when their doors are falling off now, or when they take them to the space shuttle and they can't bring them back? And this is Boeing, who used to build the most trustworthy aircraft in World War II, what they did then. But men were worshipers of God back then. More men were godly. Today, I have no clue where men's minds are. They get people to the space station. You guys know about this, don't you? They can't bring them back right now. Oh, wait there a few years and we'll get you back. Well, we'll see what they do. So I used to tell people, there are seven scriptures where I can prove that we're going to fly. And then I was teaching it, and then next time I taught it, just recently, I'm going, there, I have 13 scriptures that prove that we're going to fly. And Steve just, or I just saw number 14.
Brett showed you.
Yeah, Brett showed me. And what was that, Brett? You better tell me again so I can write it down. What was that?
The Holy Spirit showed me.
Okay. Give it to me,
this morning. And it's actually, it was the daily reading in Jeremiah.
Okay. And Jeremiah what?
And Brett, tell him why it was made visible.
So the translation that I'm reading is the Rotherhams. And it's interesting how he gets these things. He got this word right. And let me see here.
Did you go back and check the Hebrew?
No, he did. After he talked to me about it, he did it right on the spot. Yes.
So have you checked it out too?
No, he did it right on the spot this morning. Looked it up when we were talking about it.
Don't you just love it?
Yeah.
So this is number 14, two sevens.
And so I come up to Brett and I see him and I go, did you read that this morning? And he goes, over here, did you read this? And I didn't say what he told me. I said, oh, that's a repeat of Psalms 1. And he goes, yeah, but look right what it says right here. Because I wasn't reading the Rotherhams, so he was reading the Rotherhams. And this, go ahead.
And this one is over in Jeremiah 16:19. And according to the Rotherhams, it says, O Yahweh, my strength and my refuge and my place to fly to in the day of distress. Unto thee shall nations come in and out of the ends of the earth, that they may say, surely falsehood did our fathers inherit, vanity among whom is none that can profit. But that peace there was my strength, my refuge, and my place to fly.
And you looked that up, and how did that explain that?
Flight.
It's what it said.
Yeah, the word flight.
And other translations don't handle that. They just say what they say. I don't have another book to say.
But it'll say, oh, Yahweh, my strength, my stronghold, and my refuge in whom I trust.
In the day of trouble, as mine says.
Not how you get there. Just that he is, okay.
Right.
But how do you get there? Fly, yeah.
Well, Jesus could go through the crowds. There were a couple of times when he escaped, and he had a man's body.
He did that right up front when he tried to throw him off that cliff. He said, just walked right through him. And right at the first, when he went to his hometown, they got mad at him. When he stood up at the temple and was talking, today this scripture is fulfilled, took him out on the brow of the hill and tried to throw him off. He walked right through him.
I quit planning on what I was going to do in the last days. I was quite prepared at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Back 50-some years ago, I'd be a pretty lonely guy today if I'd have followed my plan. And then I became a believer, and I feel like I've been flying ever since in another, like I've been brought to another kingdom, into the kingdom of the heavens.
Right.
And it doesn't mean I'm a space cadet. Well, it doesn't mean I'm not, because, I mean, we're all kind of space cadet-y sometimes. And that's why you get married, because men need help. It's not good for a man to be alone. So God makes a helpmeet for him. Brett's smiling, Steve's smiling.
I've never heard space cadet-y before either.
Well, we're guys. Guys are space cadet-y, I think. Okay, so where are we now? 54? Acts chapter 54. Did I leave anything out? Church is not a building. It is ecclesia, ekkaleo, two words. Ek, like exit, like on the signs. That those signs above the doors, that comes from Greek. Ek means that's how you get out. And kaleo is called out.
Come here.
Come here.
Come here.
Come over here. Okay, 54. To the end, verse 60 of Acts chapter 7.
Now when they heard these things, they were cut in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he fixed his eyes on the heaven and saw God's glory and Jesus standing at God's right hand. And he said, lo, I behold the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a youth called Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the name of the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
This is an interesting scripture. What hit you on that, Steve?
Just that last part. When he says, and he kneeled and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So even though they're doing this, he's looking beyond what they're doing in the moment.
And what's the last thing he says?
And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
The word die is not there.
No.
'Cause when a person gives up their life, we die in baptism.
Uh-huh. And it's appointed for a man to die once.
In his last statement, he sounded just like Jesus. Just like Jesus.
He did. And death now in the book of Acts is gone. To all of God's kids, you're not going to see them die separated from God. It's called fall asleep.
And it said it right there. It just lays it out there. It's easy because you know what happened to him.
Yeah.
And there it is.
We haven't seen a person die yet. You know, in the book of Acts, it's all about people living. That's the first one I've seen in Acts so far. Who was the other one?
There's two of them that died.
Who's that?
did the man and the woman die?
Oh, Ananias and Sapphira. Oh, great. I forgot about that. That is Acts 5.
Yes.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I forgot about it. So this is a huge contrast with Ananias and Sapphira. They died. It used that term.
Yeah, we're going to go find that page.
Oh, we're going to find it. We're going to do a comparison here. Where is that verse?
Acts 5 and fell down and breathed his last, verse 5, Hannas. And then she fell down and breathed her last. They got to breathe their last. He got to fell asleep. The difference in the terms changed right
it's
there.
It's totally different. And they became separated from God.
And if you keep reading, she fell down immediately at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that term is used, dead. Yeah.
That's dead on.
Now, this is different. This is fall asleep. Mm-hmm. The other is separated from God, and they were separated from God eternally at that moment. So dead is in what verse, Stephen?
I believe that was 10.
Mm-hmm.
In 10.
Oh, yeah, found her dead. Yep. Dead does not mean
that's good.
To not breathe. It actually said it right because some people would breathe their last, and it doesn't mean that they died, but death means a separation like with Adam. In the day you eat thereof, you will die. You will be separated from God. And so they were kicked out of the garden, separated from God, but they kept on breathing for another 800 years. They didn't breathe their last. So that's the difference, and Adam and Eve were saved. You know, it shows that they were later on. And because it talks about the first man and the last man, Adam. But here is a very big distinction. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit. They breathed their last, and then they were separated, and this is eternal separation. Here in chapter 7, verse 60, fell asleep. And that's a believer falls asleep.
No, I've never seen that particular that clear before. Yeah. It shows a real difference, and there's the word asleep pops up for the first time.
And what was that verse about died? What was that verse again, Stephen?
5:10.
5:10. I'm going to write that in my Bible, Acts 5:10, here in where it fell asleep. That's a great comparison there. Neat.
And it brought out the whole thing about they breathed their last.
Yeah.
That terminology came out right there and then died.
Right.
Then the ring, then the bell. Yeah.
Now, when we read about Saul consenting to his death, it's talking in a general term, but it's not the death of a believer is totally different. That's looking at it from a man's point of view. They're not living, their soul is not living here on earth anymore. They quit breathing. Their life has gone out of their bodies, but he is asleep in the Lord. And this is a way a man of God told me this at the very beginning of my walk with God, that he thought of us when we were dreaming. There's a REM sleep.
Yeah.
When it shows, they know by doing the scans on your brain and the activity in the brain, your brain is the most active when you're in that deep sleep. It's very active. And you can go through many different scenarios in a very short period of time because your brain is just sharp as a whistle. It's just really sharp. And so he says, don't think that your brain, you're knocked out. This could be a point in time in your life where your brain is could be a very active time. And some of those dreams are amazing dreams that you have. If it's, you know, of course, in the Lord, if he's with the Lord, they're going to be, I haven't been there yet, so I don't know exactly how to explain that, but it doesn't mean your brain will not be working. The innermost part, the spirit of man, and
so your soul. Saul was consenting to them physically killing him.
All souls are mine. A soul that sins, it will die. And so that soul is separated from that man when he dies. The flesh returns, the dust returning to dust. That's your body and that's your soul. But the spirit, like demon spirits or whatever, that's that spirit of man, that continues. And that will either be go to the lake of fire or it goes to be with God. And so that spirit, the spirit, when Stephen fell asleep, that goes to be with God. And so the resurrection is a whole different story. We're going to actually go into that, and I'm going to save all comments on that and how that works. But those are a couple of things you might want to think about.
Well, here Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
Yeah.
Dead on what you just said.
Neat.
Well, I mean, I just never looked at it. Well, there it is right there.
Well, that's what a man of God told me. So Andy just proved what he told me was right on the button. Receive my spirit.
And that's what Jesus said too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So spirit, soul, and body, the most precious.
So he's, wait. So he said, he said two things. He said, forgive them for they don't what they do and receive my spirit. He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, receive my spirit. That's a match. That's mm-hmm. 2 out of 2.
Yeah. Men act like God.
Yeah.
Because they're his kids. And he said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. I'm trying to say our now, because I listen to the radio shows instead of our. And when I say our, it used to sound like R. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to say our. Now, I'm just going to try to do that. It does make a difference. The one thing we've appreciated over all the years is that the Bible is sung.
This is a song we sing in our fellowship groups, and it's called Glory to God. We'll sing it in Spanish first.
Gloria a Dios, Gloria, alabadle, aleluya. Gloria a Dios, Gloria, alabado el nombre del Señor. Glory to God, glory, oh praise Him, alleluia. Glory to God, glory, oh praise the name of the Lord.
Let's start that song again.
Gloria a Dios, Gloria, alabadle, alleluia. Gloria a Dios, Gloria, alabadle, el nombre del Señor. Glory to God, glory, oh praise Him, alleluia. Glory to God, glory, oh praise the name of the Lord.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.